We have with us our guest missionaries. They're from down under. Well, we can't say that because you'll think that's Australia. They're on the other side of the equator. So that's kind of down under, you know. But my acquaintance with Brother Dave Detrolio goes back many, many years. In fact, when I was pastoring here in the 70s, he was a teenager, and he was quite a mechanic at that time, and he was tearing apart engines and all kinds of things. And in fact, I think I got one of your engines rebuilt. So I've known Brother Detrolio here, David, for quite a few years. And I don't want to say how many years, but, well, you can figure it out. But as some of you know, his father for many years was the superintendent of this district, and his family has been very active in ministry. His mom was very active in district work, and he's got brothers and sisters that also been very active in the work of the Lord. So he comes from a pastor's family, and he's going to fill you in on more of it. He's got some things he wants to share with us. He was here several years ago. I don't remember exactly when maybe he remembers. But let's give him a real warm Trinity welcome. Would you do that, brother? Reverend David Detrolio and his wife, they're with us here today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you. It's so good to be here. I was thinking back. My association with this church goes back some 40 years. And I remember when Pastor Steve helped, started this church. And my dad stopped by one day, and he said, let's help on a Saturday. And he said, we're going to come, go help build a church. So we went in and did a little drywall, and probably had to be redone over, but we tried to help. You know, but it's so good to be here. And I want to thank you. I look at the backboard of the missionaries, and I want to thank you for your faithful support these many years. It has been our pleasure to be associated with this church, and we know many of you, and some of you know us. We all look a little different, you know, than we did perhaps 40 years ago, but the Lord is good, and thank you so much. We enjoyed our time last night with the Waldrons. They were so kind to receive us and put us in their home and feed us, and we just enjoyed that. Thank you so very much to the Waldrons, and thank you for coming out this morning. A little bit of snow there, but praise God, it's March, so that means probably nothing in New England. You know, we could have snow in April for that matter, but it's our pleasure to be here. I'd like to just share with you a little bit about how I happen to be involved in missions. I, like your pastor, grew up in a pastor's home, and I one of the things I had decided was that I was not going to be in the ministry because I didn't think people really deserve to have that particular burden placed upon them to have me as their pastor. And so growing up, I was a mechanic, and I was fairly good at it, and that's what I felt like I would do. I felt like it was my calling in life to work as a Christian businessman and help support my local church. But I wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I was a little child, we had an evangelist come through. He said, say tut tut. I said, tut tut. He said, you got it. Well, I don't know what I got, but I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I prayed, and every time I would pray, I felt like the Lord would say to me, give me your will, and I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, you have my will. I'll do whatever you want. And he said, well, I want you to go in the ministry. I said, no, something else. But I remember that week, that final day of the week at Long Lake Bible Camp. I don't know if any of you remember that particular place. I said yes to the Lord, and I said, Lord, please, when you baptize me in the Holy Spirit, give me the full version, and he did. I remember I opened my eyes and looked around. I felt like I had been speaking in tongues for perhaps 15 or 20 minutes, And I said, where is everybody? And they said, it is the wee hours of the morning. You've been speaking in tongues for hours. And I came to the conclusion that when you're in the presence of God, time loses its meaning. Now, don't worry. I am not going to do that this morning. My father would tease me. He said, son, when you preach, you don't need a clock. You need a calendar. And I told him, Dad, the nut didn't fall far from the tree. But, I was in a church, asked how long I could speak. They said, listen, you take your liberty. You speak just as long as you want. But at 12:15, we're going home. So if you want to be done speaking by the time we're done, we're leaving. So there I was. And after 5 weeks after having been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was at Green Lane Northeast Bible College in Green Lane, Pennsylvania, which later became Valley Forge Christian College. And one day chapel service, I was preaching, and I looked in the back of the auditorium, and I saw this beautiful young woman who was there, and she had these sparkling brown eyes, and I said, now, who is that? I wanted to know who she was because I thought I knew all the pretty girls at Bible college. And so after I was done speaking, she came up to me and asked me if I would pray for her aunt who was sick. I said, sweetie, you came to the right place. Give me your hands. I took her hands and I prayed a fervent prayer of healing for her aunt who died the next day. And she was a little nervous after that about asking me to pray for anyone for healing. And that was my inauspicious start to my healing ministry. And I said to her, what's your name? And she said, my name is Rosemarie. And she flipped her hair around and off she went. I later found out that the sparkle in her eyes were her contact lenses. But by that time, it was too late. I was already taken up. And she told me, I'm going to be a missionary. And I said, listen, don't get any ideas. I am not going to be a missionary. God has called me to be a pastor. That's what I thought. I thought I was going to go to some place in northern New England and plant a church and be a pastor. And long story short, she volunteered me to help a missionary move. I drove a moving truck, helped him move from Kansas City to Springfield, Missouri. And there, as a way of saying thank you, the missionary and his wife invited us out for lunch. As we're sitting there over lunch, they told us a little bit about their missions work in Paraguay. Now, I want to tell you something. I knew zero about Paraguay. I mean, I wasn't even sure where it was. And I have people from time to time ask me what it's like being a missionary in Africa, and they apparently don't know where Paraguay is either. That's okay. But when I went to Paraguay, we volunteered 2 years. I said to myself, well, the Lord can, give me a little 2-year period of time to go to Paraguay, and we're going to go there, and we'll work and do whatever we can. And that was 30 years ago. And so the Lord called us. Now, one of the things that impacted me the most when I went to Paraguay was the plight of the children. I already mentioned my father. When we were young, we would always complain to my dad, how come we don't have this? How come we don't have that? Are we poor, Dad? And my dad would always say, listen, just be patient, children. My ship hasn't come in, but when my ship comes in, things will be different. Well, after having waited for Dad's ship, we came to the conclusion that it was probably at the bottom of the ocean, and we better not wait for Dad's ship anymore. As a matter of fact, he passed away the end of last year, and still no ship in sight, But the thing that impacted me the most was the plight of the children. I had never seen children in so much need. Now, let me just make a little interjection here. My wife and I were married 7 years without any children, and then we had 4 children in 5 years. People ask me, what happened? Sometimes I tongue-in-cheek tell them that the TV quit working and we had to find something else to do. But, of course, that's not true, and I hope that doesn't offend you. That's not the truth. That's just something I say. So the children, being that close together in age, they're little stair steps. And they would say things to me like, "Daddy, we've been good today. Can we have a tweet?" So I knew what that meant. So I would take them out for ice cream. And I really enjoyed taking my children out for ice cream. Somebody had to do it. And I'd watch them eat ice cream, and it was really neat. You know, little children eat ice cream different than adults do. Adults, we're careful. We don't want to drip it on our clothes. Kids, they don't care. It gets on their clothes, gets in their hair, falls on the ground. They pick it up. The dog comes by. They offer him a lick, no big deal. And as I was watching my kids, what a great guy I was. They were making a mess of it. And what did I care? I was going to take them home, let their mother clean them up, put them to bed after I'd pumped them full of sugar. Very, great dad there I was. And so as I was watching my kids eat ice cream in Asunción, Paraguay, for the first time, I realized there was a group of street kids that had gathered, and they were watching my children eat ice cream. And, I'll tell you, I had a lot of emotions flood through me at that moment. One, I felt like a horrible person because I made a comparison between my children and these street children. My kids were well clothed. The street kids were in rags. They didn't have any shoes on their feet. My kids were well fed. As a matter of fact, I was giving them ice cream, something they didn't even need. And the street kids, I had seen them scavenging for food in garbage cans. But I guess the thing that impacted me the most and made me very angry was the realization that within a few hours, my children would be safely in bed in clean pajamas and they could sleep all night without worrying somebody was going to hurt them. That was the thing that made me feel the absolute, it really incensed me. And I remember saying, "Holy Spirit, this is wrong. Somebody needs to do something about that." And I never forget, I believe God's Holy Spirit in a very real way said to me, "Okay, you've seen the need, now step up to the plate." See, I had lived in Paraguay for a number of years. I'd seen those kids every day. It just never clicked in my mind like it did that moment, and I had a God moment, and that was the moment that changed my life. I it's a long story. I won't take the time to share everything. I went home and told my wife. I said, "Honey, we're going to do something to change the life of those kids." The easiest thing for me to have done to assuage my guilt or my conscience would have been pulled $15, $20 out of my pocket, bought those children an ice cream cone, but they didn't need an ice cream cone. They needed something that would change their life, something that would break that cycle of hopelessness in their life. And that's what I chose to do. We went home that night, and we chose as our vehicle the way of helping children through Latin America Child Care. It's a wonderful program. It's a program that is different than many child programs. We are a formal school program where we give the children the tools they need to break that cycle of hopelessness. Think of where you would be without an education. I used to, with my children, I believed in education very strongly. I would tell my children when I'd see someone doing a menial, poorly paid job, I would tell my kids, "Hey, there's a job you could do without an education." And, they'd get a little irritated with me, after a while. But think of where you would be without an education. And without an education, most of us would probably be stuck in a low-paying job. You may have a good education and have a low-paying job, too. And you can point out to me, "Oh, I know so-and-so never got a formal education, and they're a multimillionaire." But I'm telling you, basically, without that training, without that skill. So we went and we started supporting two children. It's $32 a month to support a child through Latin America Child Care. I know a number of you people do. The Waldrons, we were blessed to see the child that they're helping support from Paraguay. And if you can do it, if this is something God would lay on your heart to do, my wife said to me, how are we going to support two more kids? I said, honey, God has put this in my heart, and that's something I've learned. If God puts it in your heart, please don't do anything because I encourage you to do it. But if you would sense that the Holy Spirit would have you to do it, if you have a call to do this, if you have a pull to do this, and you believe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, please do it because it'll help change your life, and you can help change a child's life forever. We started with two. We added another. It's amazing what you can do when God is in it. And our family helps support children. I remember when we got our fourth child supported, I was going to add another child from Paraguay. And I distinctly felt the Holy Spirit say to me, what? Only kids in Paraguay need your help? And I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, well, how about the kids in Africa? How about kids in other places? So we made it our goal to find ministries that reach out to kids. And what a blessing it's been. And let me tell you something that the Holy Spirit shared with me years ago in that ice cream parlor in Asunción, Paraguay. I still remember the spot. I still remember the sultry evening it was there in Asunción, Paraguay. Amandao ice cream, and right at the corner of República and Argentina and Avenida Bojani. And I remember I said to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I can't help all these kids. And I believe God's Holy Spirit said to me, I didn't ask you to help all these kids. Help the ones you can. See, you know, we go through life and we see so many tremendous needs and we want to help everybody. And you know something? Sometimes we can be paralyzed. It's such a huge task that we won't do anything. So, do you gentlemen have the DVD ready? All right. If you want to run the DVD, that would be wonderful. And this will give you a little idea of what LACC is about.
I don't honestly want to remember the time before I came to Liceo Cristiano. My mother had never gone to school and had never learned to read or write. Every Saturday night, my father came home drunk, having spent his hard-earned money on alcohol.
But a sponsor and a school changed everything. At an LACC school like this one, Beatrice learned to read and write. She learned basic hygiene. She received medical care, and she was loved. Over half the children of Latin America live below the poverty level. It is a sad, hopeless existence. Often they are drawn into a sinful lifestyle early. But for some of them, Latin America Child Care and the local church offer a rare hope for the future. Today, Beatrice and her husband have a productive ministry as missionaries in Nicaragua, and they are sponsors of an LACC child. For 100,000 needy children in 20 nations of Latin America, LACC is a source of hope. Not just food, not just education, but an introduction to the one who makes an eternal difference. Still, for every child being nurtured inside an LACC school, there are many more outside looking in. Will you help open the doors of opportunity to those who are still waiting?
I'll give you a little idea. If you have questions, you know, you please see my wife or I after the service. We're at the back. We'll be at the back there. you know, it's kind of interesting. If you have your Bible, turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians, Actually, chapter 9, verse 8. And while you're turning there, it's kind of interesting that God would call me to work with a school program. Now, when I was in high school, I was an honor student. You may not realize that. Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. It'll never happen again, Your Honor. And the high school that I graduate is kind of a euphemism because out of the 289 students in the graduating class, I was number 287th. The only two students that had a lower GPA than I did had permanent brain damage. Now, mine is kind of comes and goes with the full moon, and most people are too polite to mention it. But, I remember when I, there's a reason for that. I remember when I went to the University of Maine system, and I asked to go get into the University of Maine. The registrar looked at my transcript, and he laughed. He said, "Sonny, why don't you go do something you're qualified to do?" Like, and he mentioned a few menial jobs he thought I could do without. And I said, "No, sir." I said, he said, "Why do you want to go to college? You obviously don't like school. You don't do well in school." And I said, "Well, there's a difference. I believe God is calling me to go to college." And he thought, and what they did is they allowed me in as an adult, continuing education for adults. That's the only way they could let me in. I was older than 18, and so they let me in. And then God, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I went to Valley Forge, and Chickie, I did. I did actually graduate. Cost a lot of money, but no. Actually, I graduated. I hate to tell you this because you'll think I'm bragging. But, like the guy from Missouri said, it ain't bragging if you done it. But I was magna cum laude in my second master's degree. There's nothing wrong with my intellectual ability. I have ADD. And that's why, I couldn't focus in high school. And so back then they just pushed you through. And, it was get you out the door and get you into something else. So God is able. And the thing I tell the kids, at the school, what do we do in Paraguay? Let me share that with you. We are the directors. God called us to be the directors of Latin America Child Care in Paraguay. We have four schools. Go from grade school to high school. Actually, go from pre-K up to high school. And we have about 1,500 children that come into our schools every day. And we're helping making a difference in the lives of these children. And it is so neat. We've been doing this for a long time now. And we are, I actually am getting the children of some of our former students, which you don't know what a neat thing that is, because many of the children we deal with are children that are at risk. And these children, the fact that they have a stable family and that they now have everybody had a biological mother and father to get here, but very often they're absentee and they're not in the home, and these children are raised by who knows. And it is so neat to see that God, through the help of supporters like those of you in this church and others, we are able to make a difference, a permanent difference in the life of these children, and giving them not only sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, but we help give them the tools they need to live a productive life and be able to honestly and in a dignified way provide for their families and their. And so this is a wonderful thing. Now, if you have your Bible there, I'd like to just share verse of scripture from 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is what the NIV says. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Could you repeat with me? And God is able. Could we say that this morning? Would you repeat with me? And God is able. Who is able? God is able. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to share. Oh God, this human vessel wants to be used of you to speak the eternal word this morning, Lord, and so that we would be challenged by your word, oh God, to share and to open our heart to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, don't get nervous. I know it's 11:57 according to my watch, but I'm going to try to be done as quickly as possible. As I travel, the United States is in an economic condition that is not the best. You know, the difference between a recession and depression is whether you've lost your job or not, you know. I mean, it's one thing if you don't have a job, and it's another thing. But in some people, they would almost paraphrase Scripture or change Scripture to say, I lift up my eyes to Concord, New Hampshire. Where does my help come from? That's state government. Or others go, the President of the United States is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, friend, let me tell you, if you are putting your faith and your trust in human beings, you're setting yourself up for a problem. You're setting yourself up for a real disillusionment, because in Jeremiah 17:1, Scripture says, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. See, there's nothing wrong with believing in our government, and please, more than ever, we need to pray for our government. We're at a pivotal moment in our history as a nation, and we need leaders who will hear from God. We need leaders who will follow God's plan. And I believe, I read in Romans, that we are commanded to pray for those who are in authority over us, because all authority is established by God. How can that be? Well, that'll be the theme for another message that your pastor will answer all the questions you have on that. Isn't that great? I'm just here, and, you know, let your pastor deal with the real problems. But the Scripture says God is able. You see, that is the important part. Latin America Child Care in Paraguay, last year we broke a $1 million in our budget, and we get roughly 20% of that from the United States. So believe me, I know how to pray. I know how. I may not have a healing ministry, but I know how to pray for God's provision. Because if God's work is going to be done, God has to provide for his work. And we need to remember that God is able. What is he able to do? He's able to make all grace abound to us. We need God's grace, don't we? My wife's husband, if he doesn't get enough to eat, if he doesn't get enough sleep, he gets grumpy. He needs God's grace. My wife needs God's grace every day, and I suspect we need God's grace. We all need God's grace. And it is by grace we have been saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gives his grace, and his grace is for anything we need. Do you need resources? God's grace will generously provide for all we need. And Scripture says, so that in all things, at all times. You know, that's a pretty all-encompassing statement. All things at all times. I bought a used car. And as I was doing the paperwork, the guy said to me, "So, oh, by the way, I'm putting a warranty on this car." I said, "Really? A used car with a warranty?" You know, back when we sold cars, it was the famous 30-30 warranty. You know, 30 feet or 30 seconds, whichever came first. You know, you're on your own, buddy. As a matter of fact, honestly, we would put on the bill of sale, as is, where is, as seen, not for use on the road. I mean, we wanted to cover our backsides because we're selling a used car. And so the guy said, hey, I'm putting a warranty on this car. I said, great. So he gave me this official-looking paper that I took with me and didn't read it. When I had a little time, I decided, you know, I'll take time, I'll read my car warranty. Ha! What a joke. What a paper written by a room full of lawyers. This warranty doesn't cover all things at all times. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use a little hyperbole here, but my warranty covers my used car under the about condition something like this. If I'm driving my car in a rainstorm, I drive off a cliff, as the car is falling through the air, if it got struck by lightning and it happened to be leap year, my car would be covered. That doesn't sound like all things at all times to me. As a matter of fact, I get these little cards in the mail, you know, attention, warning, your warranty's about to expire. I'm going, what warranty? This is not a warranty. But you see, God's word says that God is able. First thing, say that with me. God is able to make all grace abound to you. You need God's grace? God is able to give it to you. So that in all things, at all times, and then, Scripture says, having all that you need. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to know whether I have all that I need. We tease my sister. I only have one sister. She's my best sister. We tease her about her love for shoes. Have you ever met anybody who loves shoes? We thought my sister was trying to, you know, give Imelda Marcos, the former first lady of the Philippines, a run for her money. You know, I said to my sister, I said, Angela, you only have 2 feet. You're not a centipede. You don't have 100. Why do you need so many shoes? My wife's husband likes tools. I never met a tool I didn't like. I go to yard sales. I see a tool. Hey, if the price is right, I buy it. I have purchased tools that I don't even know what they're used for, but I like them. You know why? Because I don't know how much I need. See, God's word promises that we will have all that we need. But some of us, I saw those loaves of bread. Thank you. Pietro Paolo, Peter Paul, that brought. My father would tease his sister. She would cry poor mouth with a loaf of bread under each arm. And, you know, sometimes we don't know how much we need. We just keep building it up and stacking it up and getting more and more. And you know what? We end up like the rich fool. You remember who the rich fool was? The rich fool, Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 12 about the man who said, what shall I do? My fields have produced such a crop, I don't know what to do with it all. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns, I'll build new ones, and then I'll say to myself, friend, you have much laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. And what did God say? God said, you, what? You fool. That's a strong word. You fool. Tonight, your soul will be required of you, and then who will get all that you have laid up, all that you have worked for? You know, we buried my father the last day of the year. It was okay. He was dead. And one of the things that I noticed at the funeral, there was not a U-Haul trailer hooked up to his hearse that carried his coffin with the shell of his body that we put in the ground. The Bible says naked, we come into this world, naked we leave. We actually dressed Dad in a suit, you know. We figured that would be nice. But, you know, we come into this world with nothing. And Jesus said in Luke 12, Jesus warned us about the not to worry. You know, Jesus said, don't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. See, resources, finances are important, but we don't have to worry about it because God is able to make all grace abound to us. And one of the things I've learned as a missionary in 30-some years of missionary service is that when we are doing God's work, God will provide for us. We don't have to run after those things. We don't have to lay up for ourselves. Jesus, as a matter of fact, said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near. I think that is referring, Ray, to the IRS. And no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. See, Jesus never said that this world was unimportant. Jesus said, I'm sorry, Pat, I said Ray. You were hoping I would forget your name. God puts us on this earth, and He desires to work through us. He desires, God uses people. God chooses those who He would choose. Some of the people that God has chosen, you may not think should have been chosen. That is my case in many ways. But God chooses whom He sees fit. And then the last part of that verse is, you will abound in every good work. That's a word we don't use, abound. We don't use that much. But it means that you will excel. You will have a lot of good works. And I want to tell you something. You can do good works and not be a Christian, but you can't be a Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ, and not do good works. Did you get that? See, because some people think that by doing good works, they're going to gain salvation. No, salvation is found in no other name. For only in the name of Jesus can we be saved. There's only one name given among men whereby we may be saved. We understand that. But I'm telling you something. God has saved us not so we can go home and count our blessings. But I believe this is the key part of this verse I read you. God is able to make all grace abound to us so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let me read that to you in the New Living Translation. And this is what 2 Corinthians 9:8 says. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. See, I don't believe it pleases God if you don't pay your bills so you can give money to the work of God. You know what that's called? That's not called faith. That's called being a deadbeat. When I was in business, one of the things that would irritate the fire out of me was getting a check from somebody that had some scripture reference on it. You know, God loves you, God so loved the world, whatever. And then getting the check returned for insufficient funds. I'm telling you, if you're going to be a deadbeat, please don't tell anyone you're a Christian, because that does not please God. I believe as Christians, we should pay our bills. I believe. And God doesn't want any of us to take the money that we would use to feed our children, clothe our children, and give it to someone else. That doesn't please God. What pleases God is when we trust Him and we say, out of what you've given me, out of what you've blessed me, I'm going to bless others. See, that's the way this church is reaching around this world. That's the way this church is fulfilling the call of Jesus Christ to go throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can't all go, but we can all. And I believe, you call me radical, you call me whatever you want, but I believe that God blesses us not to raise our standard of living. God blesses us to raise our standard of giving. Because no man is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to get what he cannot lose. You know, you could be like the rich fool. And you know what Jesus said? I love different translations of that verse. But Jesus said about the rich fool. So everyone is a fool who lays up, who collects earthly treasure, but is not rich towards God. Not rich in your relationship with God. How are we rich in our relationship with God? We see people the way God sees them. We see people in need. We see people. We can't meet everybody's need. But I believe we've got enough ability, enough resources, enough talent to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this world. And sometimes, like St. Augustine said, we preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. Pastor Steve, come.
No matter what we feel our circumstances are, you know, whether rich or poor, or we live in abundance or with want, there's always somebody in the world that's less fortunate. We've learned that lesson. That's a good word we've heard from our brother Petrolio this morning, that God is able and he is going to take care of you. You do what's right. You know, I stand behind this pulpit from week to week, and we have various appeals that we make, and I've always told you from day one, listen, I'm not going to twist your arm, but I am going to give you an opportunity. And you either take advantage of it or you don't. That's between you and the Lord. See, I know it says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches, not my riches, his riches. And I just need to be obedient when God impresses something upon my heart. Whether or not I see how it can work out, you know, and we all have needs, but I just say, Lord, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll try to be faithful and do it. Regardless, don't try to figure out how you're going to do it. Just do it. And God will supply your needs. And I believe that's what missions is all about. It's never, my experience has been in my lifetime, it's never convenient to give the way God wants us to give. That's my experience. I don't know what yours is, at least for me. It's never convenient. There's always an excuse I could have. There's always a reason that I can figure out, well, God, this just is not the right time. I will. How many blessings have been missed because people put off till tomorrow what they should have done today? You see, the door opens when you respond, when God calls. So in the next few moments, you have a decision to make. We're going to receive a missionary offering. We do this every year. And I'll let you know ahead of time the way it works. The way it works is we have our missionaries come in. We receive our regular offerings because we have regular expenses. I got a building not too far from here. We ran out of fuel this week. It's cold over there, and I got school tomorrow for the kids, preschool. So we have to have a delivery come in. And the reason it ran out is because we don't fill the tank all the time because the funds are tight. So we get only so much fuel. Well, it ran out. So we had a Sunday school class that couldn't meet over there because it was too cold. And between now and tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll get some fuel in there and get that taken care of. See, there's always things we can say, you know. But what we do is we bring the missionaries in, we let them present, we receive the tithes and offerings, and then we always take a missionary offering. And that's where real giving happens. The tithe, we should do that regardless. Once we give our tithe, now this is where giving starts. Giving starts after the tithe. And what you give, that's the measure of who you are. Think about it. in your offerings to the Lord. That's the measure of who you really are. Where do you put your treasure? See, where do you put your treasure? Do you invest it in the kingdom of God? Well, you're going to find out someday, right? So we're going to receive this missionary offering, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you, you need to do what God tells you to do. If God tells you to give $10, give $10. If God says, hey, you know what? I want you to give $25. There are some people in a service like this, God said, I want you to give $1,000. They say, well, how am I going to do that? And I'm not asking for it. God, if God asks for it, I feel happy to ask you to give whatever God says. See, that's why I do this. I don't tell you give what I tell you to give. I just say, you give what God wants you to give. And there's people sitting here that could afford that. There's some who are here, you give $50. It's going for missions. It's going for the kingdom of God. It's not going to any person, per se. Time is running out, folks. You need to catch a glimpse of eternity the way God sees it. And if you were to see eternity and what lies ahead for this world the way God sees it, there wouldn't be enough money in your bank account for you to give as much as you'd want to give to help people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and salvation. Time is running out. So now, what is the measure of a man? What's the measure of a woman? What's the measure of a church? Begins after the tithe when it comes to giving. Brethren, would you come forward? We're going to receive this special missionary offering. And what we do is we receive offerings. We're going to do it this week, next week, the following week. At the end, we always give our missionaries something to help them with their travel expense. And then we like to send them a nice check afterwards at the end of our missions convention. And that's really a portion of what comes into this whole missions convention. This is the time now. What does God want you to do? And I don't believe in just playing on your feelings, but what our brother shared is true. There are thousands upon thousands of street children and street people. That's their home. Their destiny relies on somebody caring enough to come by and give them a hand and say, because of the love of Jesus, I extend my hand to you. I want to lift you up so you have a chance, so you have an opportunity. Your offerings help us to see that accomplished throughout the world. Let's bow in prayer and ask what God would have us do. Jesus, everybody can do something. The wonderful thing about the church, Lord, is that you don't ask everybody to do the same, because we couldn't do that. We just wouldn't be able to measure up. But you just simply ask us to be faithful and obedient to what you call us to do. And we have the assurance that if we will do what you ask us to do, then all the needs will be met. And that you will bless our lives. You promised in your word that you would pour back into our lives so much that we couldn't even contain it. Full and running over, your blessings would come if we just are obedient to what you ask us to do. Ours is not to question how. Ours is simply to say, yes, Lord, I will. And so as we contemplate what you would have us do right now, let your Holy Spirit impress upon us what you want your people to do. And may we be faithful. May we respond out of hearts of generosity so that your kingdom work will be accomplished. Bless, Lord, gift and giver, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's sing along. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need end as we sing it again. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you, Lord, for your divine provision for us. As we leave this place today, may we go with this awareness that you never forsake your own. You will always provide. May we learn this truth. May we walk obediently before thee. Now may your people be blessed as we reach out into our world and minister as you would have us minister. Bless your people, I pray, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Now listen, again, we have some bread that's been donated to the church to give out. And some of you, you helped yourself last time, and we're blessed, and we have some of that. We're going to let you see what we've got. We're going to open the kitchen if you want to take a look at that, all right, before you leave. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock sharp, the missions film, 6 o'clock tonight.